fault, Alex. Alex was moving all the buttons, going, what's going on? I knew it was working. By the way, Dave and Shirley, I didn't realize I would have made mention of you. I think today, of all days, probably, not only do we celebrate your anniversary, we could have Dave come up here and give the message. 60 years together, and all those children, and we would love to learn all about it. Maybe we should have you at the end. Go in that little nook over there by the fireplace, and we will all sit at the feet of Dave, Father Dave. And learn, because I've come to realize that I've been a father for 31 years. Is our oldest 31? Just double checking. And I'd like to do it all over again, because I'm just now beginning to understand what it means to be a father. Even as we have some grandchildren come along, I go, man, oh, that's where I blew it. That's where the tires came off the wheels. So all of you fathers who are ahead of me and have had a lot more experience, I give you great respect and honor, and thank you for your leadership. Father's Day is a special day. It's a time where we focus in on a very important member of the family. It is a day where we recognize the value of this man who gives leadership in the home. We just did that for our mothers, and mothers are exceptionally important. Each the mother and the father in a home play such a important individual role, and together they complement each other. They could complement each other in such an amazing way. Does anybody know the origin of Father's Day? A lady named Sonora Smart Dodd, back in 1909 in the United States, just loved her father, and she was listening to a sermon extolling the values and the virtues of godly fathers. And so it came to her mind that there should be a special day, because not much before, a day had been enacted for mothers. And so she started to work towards seeing that there was a special day every year for fathers to celebrate them. And, her father was especially important to her because her mother had died early in her life. And so this father had been exceptional. He had cared for her. He had been both father and mother. And so she really wanted to do something. And finally, I think the year was 1924. The President of the United States, after seeing the movement for Father's Day sweep across the nation, finally enacted it as a real holiday or a special day in the year. And it was in June because Sonora's dad's birthday was in June. So it came out of, this holiday came out of love for fathers. And there's so much to be said about fatherhood. A good father is one, he is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and unappreciated heroes in humanity. He really is. He's someone who can make a huge difference in the life of a child. As a little boy was asked to define Father's Day, and he said, it's just like Mother's Day, only you don't spend as much on the present. How true that is, isn't it? How true that is. I was trying to think of what father in the scriptures should we focus in on for the few minutes that we have today, and I really thought of Joshua in the Old Testament. If you'll turn to Joshua 24, let's read a little bit in Joshua 24, and we'll go to verse 14 through 18, and just get a little opening here, a little glimpse of this man who was such a great leader for God, not only with the people of Israel, but in his home. And we can see very clearly how he wanted to be and continue to be a great leader, even at a very elderly age. Joshua 24, verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But, here's a big but, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Isn't that a great statement? As for me and my house. As a matter of fact, let's read that little section together, all of us. But, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sights and preserved us in all the ways that we went and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." Father, we pray today that this example of Joshua will be a precious and powerful reminder of the importance of fathers in our lives, the importance to be godly fathers and godly grandfathers, and some godly great-grandfathers. What a privilege. So we pray for your blessing. May your word work mightily in our hearts as the Spirit convicts us and convinces us to serve you with all our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So fatherhood is very important. And today, there's many of us in this room whose father have gone on. They've passed away. My father passed away about 13, 14 years ago. And I still miss him dearly. There are days that I sit and I'd love to talk to him. I'd love to sit there and say, "Dad, here's what I'm going through," or "Here's a quandary that I have, a question." And so I miss my father. And I know some of you do too. So we're sensitive to that. Our dads were important in our lives. But some of you, your fathers are still here, and you love to go. Maybe today you're going to go visit them. And if you are, I hope you just gush all over them, give them big loves and hugs and kisses, and let them know how much they're loved. Just so you know that this passage in Joshua 24 is a farewell address. This is Joshua saying goodbye to the people. He's about 110 years old. He is not a young man. He is a man who has served faithfully through so many years of struggle and trial to see this nation of Israel come to a place where they really are settled into the land that God had promised them. And he first of all, he charges the leaders of the land to obey the Lord who had fought for them and given them an inheritance. This land didn't come easily. It had been promised. It had been given by promise to Abraham, their father, and it came at great cost to many of them. They knew the people who had lost their lives for this land. But they also knew, and Joshua says so clearly in this passage, please read it later tonight, the rest of it, that they had received this land because the Lord had fought for them. Yes, they had drawn swords, and they had run pagans and idol worshippers and people who would spit at the name of God, the Heavenly Father, and they'd run them out, or they'd killed them at God's command. But it was God who had really fought for them, and they'd won the inheritance. Secondly, he is warning them of the danger of apostasy. Choose this day whom you will serve. It's so important sometimes to recognize where he's saying this. As a matter of fact, this is a very important speech because it's right on the spot of a place called Shechem. And that might be a familiar name for you who've gone through Sunday school and understand the biblical places. Shechem was a place where there was some very sacred memories. Abraham's altar. Abraham at this place called Shechem had received the promise many, many years ago, and it is at this place that he had built an altar. And altars were just reminders. Often they were mounds of earth specially built or stones raised up, and as people of Israel would pass by, they would say, "Oh yes, we remember. That's where God made the promise. And others would pass by and they would wonder, what does this altar mean? And they would, if they were good people, they would leave the altar alone and know it was a sacred spot for many. This place, Shechem, was where Jacob came to live. As Jacob's well was there, a very special place for the people of Israel. It was a very special time and a special place in Joshua's life to leave some final remarks. And Joshua had served so faithfully. He had served with all his heart. He had come to them as the assistant to Moses, learned how to lead this very onerous and feisty group of people, and over the years had gained some great experience and authority. 40 years with Moses, and now for another 25 years he had led them on his own. You remember who Joshua was as well, some of you? He was the one who went out with the 12 spies. 12 spies went out to check out the land of Canaan, and 12 spies came back, 10 of which said, no, we can't go in there. There are giants. And two, Joshua and Caleb gave that minority report. That report says, we can take this land. If God is with us, who can be against us? We can move into this land because God is calling us to take this land. He checked it out. They spent 40 days there. They came back. And these two faithful, godly men said, God's gonna give us this land. There's a lot of things we could actually say about Joshua. But I just want to, for today, just mention two things. If we can take two things away, it will help us as men to lead our families well. And again, maybe we haven't done these things well or at all, but today is a new day. We can do these things from today forward. I want you to remember, Joshua was the priest of his home. Joshua was the priest of his home. And secondly, Joshua had a plan for his family. Okay, guys, you got this. It's very, very simple outline. He was the priest of his home, and he had a plan for his family. In this little section here, Joshua really, truly acknowledges his responsibility for the spiritual life of his family. That's why we call him the priest of his family. Every one of us men should be understanding we are the priests of our family. I stand here before you honestly and hopefully openly saying there are times in my life that I didn't do this very well. As a matter of fact, my dear wife, she took on the role sometimes when I was lackadaisical, that I just sort of didn't think through things. But God taught me over the years that it was my important and critical responsibility to lead the family as the priest of the family. And a priestly role requires one thing, a close and intimate connection with God. Doesn't it? We expect those who are in those places of spiritual leadership to have a growing and close and intimate connection with God. Not perfect, because we're all growing. We're all learning. But to have that understanding that we need to be close to the Lord. We need to be growing in our relationship with God. As well, turn to Deuteronomy 6. I'll just get you to turn to a couple spots this morning. Deuteronomy 6, as the priestly role in the family. We also have the training role. The training role. Deuteronomy 6, 6 to 9. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Now, I noticed this when I went to Israel many, many years ago, that the priests would bind the words of God in a little box on their hands, and the same on their head as they went to the Wailing Wall to pray, or if they were in their synagogue, they would pray that way. And it was these scriptures that they would have in this little box. And I realize sometimes our kids may look at us, and if we're saying something to remind them of a spiritual nature of some life lesson, oh, Dad, oh, whatever, you know, you're always talking about the Bible. I can tell you this much, we're never talking or speaking concerning the statutes of God enough. Our role is to teach the family, is to teach our children that honoring God, to walk with God, to understand His Word and be in it, is paramount for us to live in this world with power and purpose. Even in Ephesians 6 and 4, it says so clearly, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. As a priest of your home, how are you doing there? What's your weekly strategy? We'll get into plans in a second. But how are you doing in being the priest of your home and being the leader, being the one who leads in teaching how to live our lives out in a way that honors God? Because really, the greatest thing that I will have ever done, and you men will have ever done as a father, is to be is to pass on, first and foremost, love of God. They see in us as fathers how much we love God, and then a love for God's Word. Matthew 22:37-38 is that time when Jesus was asked, what's the most important commandment? Remember that? And the answer was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, and with all your soul. And then, to love your neighbor as yourself. If we could do anything as Christians to demonstrate our walk with God, is to love the Lord our God with everything we have, heart, soul, strength, mind, everything. Because when we do that, our lives are such, they exude with that relational display. People see the love of God in our lives, and they want that. They know that that's special. As a matter of fact, back in Joshua 23, verse 11, you may just want to head back there, Joshua 23, 11, Joshua says this very thing to this grand meeting of people. He says, be very careful, therefore, to love your God. Love the Lord your God. I like how he says, be very careful. Recently I had lots of problems with my car, and into the shop, and we're looking at the engine, it's running, and as it was running, I heard a sound. We're trying to figure out this sound, and I pointed at something, and my mechanic grabbed my arm and said, don't do that, because he thought I was going to put my hand too far into the engine and maybe get hurt. I wasn't going to do that, but I sure was thankful. He said, be careful. And there's a lot of things we should be very, very careful about. Equipment that runs with motors and fans and blades, yes, definitely. Fire, we teach our kids, don't touch the fire. We look at our stoves and we make sure that the stove isn't in such a state that if our kids put their hands on it, they would burn. We're always looking out for our kids. And Joshua, as the elder statesman, is saying, be very careful. Keep your mind attentive to what one thing? Not to the enemies around you, because there are lots of enemies around. Not to taking care of and building up a big house and doing a lot of practical things that are very good. He said, be very careful to love the Lord your God. And I asked myself that as I thought about this message. How careful am I to love the Lord my God? Care requires that we be thoughtful. Care requires that maybe this isn't an activity, or this isn't something I should be involved with, or go somewhere or see something, because it really doesn't help me to love the Lord my God. As a matter of fact, it may tear down that love. It's so important. There was a little fellow who was really, really frightened one night when the thunder and lightning was just rip-roaring. I usually sleep through that stuff. I love that. And he got up and went to his father's room, and he said, "Daddy, I'm scared." And father said, "Son, God loves you, and he'll take care of you." Now, that's a great response. God will take care of you. And the little boy says, "Daddy, I know God loves me, but right now I need someone with skin on. He needs somebody with skin on." And, oh man, as I thought about that little humorous story, I thought, how much have I been the representative of God, the skin, the hands and feet of God to my kids? I know I've let them down at times, and I'm sure you know where you have too. But our children, my grandchildren, need to see me as the hands, the feet, the skin of God. I want to let you know, even yesterday I blew it. I got impatient with my grandchildren. Little kids are tough. I want to let you know this. You know that, eh? They get noisy, they get loud, they do things, and they're told not to do them, and they're told 5 times not to do them. And you go, "Oh, I wish they would just obey." And grandpa, or pops in our household, gets frustrated. And I was reminded, even as I was rereading this, oh yeah, I wasn't very good hands and feet. I wasn't very good skin yesterday. But God knows that, and he's still working in me, and he's still working in you, dads. And you, moms, that's who we are. We're the skin of God. Children need us to be parents. Not only that, we need to be model parents. We need to be striving to that. I know perfection is beyond this life, but we need to be striving to be model parents, especially fathers. Fathers, children are especially affected by their fathers. One little quote, I don't know where it came from. "A boy loves his mother, but will follow his father." I kind of believe that. I know how a mother has that nurturing, loving, embracing nature. But somehow in the end, the father is always seen as that guide, that lead. And children follow that lead. I don't know where this story comes from, and I can't tell you if it's true, but I heard this story, read this story, about a pastor whose son got very, very sick, deathly sick, and as a matter of fact, the doctor came in and said, "Your son has only a few days to live." And the father, with broken heart, went to see his son in the hospital room, went to his son, and after praying a little with him, he said to his son, are you afraid to meet Jesus?" And this little boy said, "Daddy, I'm not afraid to meet Jesus if he's anything like you." If he's anything like you. Again, I want to be open. I don't know if that story's true. But whoever wrote that, again, reminded me of the importance, the value of being a godly father. How that can make a difference in the life of our children. We need to be the priest in the home. And if anything, I can encourage you today, dads, one area that we need to be ever so priestly about is our prayer life. Let's be praying that God will work in us deeply and mightily and change us to be more like Jesus, and to be praying for our children each and every day, that God would work out his plan of salvation and his purpose for our children's lives so that they will grow to pass on the love for God. So I said that we need to be priests of the family, but we also need to be planners for the family. We need to plan for the family. This man, Joshua, this grand, stately father and grandfather, maybe even great-grandfather, was a planner. He said, "We will serve the Lord." That was his plan. It was pretty clear, wasn't it? There was no ambiguity in that statement. We will serve the Lord. And with God's help, we need a plan that will bring unity to the family. And his words to me ring of unity. Me and my house. He was bringing all of those under his house together with this plan. We will serve the Lord. And unity is always found in a worthy and clearly understood value system. And as Christian fathers, our value is, first and foremost, to love the Lord our God with everything, our heart, our soul, our mind. My wife calls this a whole life faith. I like that statement. A whole life faith. It isn't siloed. It isn't segregated into different aspects. Well, we go to work, that's one of our lives. We have our recreational life, that's another life, and then we have our family life. It is a whole life faith. Everything about us is all integrated into everything we do. And so this unity that Joshua is talking about is really fortified by his godly and courageous character. People knew how what he said is who he was. He was authentic. And they remembered what he had done, and they remembered all the campaigns and how courageous he was, saying, if God is moving us this way, we can do this. And when God is in the mix, we can do anything. And let me bring Father and Mother's Day together here for one more second. A mother and father, when they are unified in such a way as this priestly and planned life to serve God with our whole heart. There is no other power, I think, on the planet that will bring God the most glory and will be the most powerful tool to build his kingdom here on earth. That's God's plan, to have strong, courageous, faithful, unified homes. So fathers, mothers, do we have a plan? Do we have a unity centered around God's plan for our lives? And that is to love him with all our heart, soul, and mind. And when the family is unified, trials that come will be managed. You can get through almost anything. I would say anything. The scriptures teach that if God is in the mix of the storm, we can get through whatever storm there is. Joshua knew that. And so this determination was for his family, and he was going to lead them. I leave you this morning with just a prayer. My prayer will be that God will work in us as men to help us to be men who love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and to love others as we would want them to love us. And that's a priestly function. And then to have a plan for our families. Even now, to start thinking this week, how can I lead my family better? How can I encourage my family? Where am I letting my family down so that I might understand where I can set some things aside and replace them with things that will lift them up to love God? What will you do this week? How will it change maybe even one thing in your life as a father? What will you do in building intimacy with God this week that you haven't done before? Maybe even beginning a new routine of intimacy with God. How will you demonstrate that you are the skin of God to your children this week? I leave those questions in your mind. I believe that you already will have some answers because you already know where you struggle. Many of our struggles are the same. But I pray for you this week that you will have a mindset that you are the priest of the home and that you are the spiritual planner and that God will give you great success, just as he did Joshua. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and the scriptures that they teach us so clearly that as men we have to be planners and most importantly priests. I pray, Father, that today you will help us to get beyond the failures that we've had as fathers, because we are not perfect, but that we will see the hope for the future, that we can rise up courageously and say, we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and today we are going to be the priests of this family in a new and fresh way. And our plan is to lead our family forward, to love you more and more. This is our prayer, Father. Help us do that beginning this day, this 2016 Father's Day. And we will just thank you as you encourage us and strengthen us. In Jesus' name, amen.